Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Preacher and the Teacher. Mustard and Johnson. It's Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Talk all things Sox, Pats, B's and C's right now with Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network at WEEI.com.
Oh, boy. It is the Mustard and Johnson Show, a three-hour tour. Larry Johnson officially in a state of ecstasy, unmitigated euphoria. Tigers just birdied the fourth hole.
He's a mere
five strokes behind.
I thought you meant Garoppolo's date.
Is this going to be like watching Serena at Wimbledon last week? Thankfully, we were spared of that because of the men's.
Taken down.
But it happened after the show was over, so we didn't have to have you sitting there obsessed and fixated, mesmerized by Serena at Wimbledon. But of course, now we have the British Open and Tiger's five strokes behind.
Lefty!
And you're going to be ooing and eyeing.
Your boy, Lefty.
He's not my boy.
You don't like Lefty?
I like him.
Who do you like?
I like Rory McIlroy, who's two strokes behind. So we're going to be kind of checking out the British Open, which is my favorite, only because I like watching golf in the morning for whatever reason, I don't know. But unfortunately, since Tiger is now kind of in the hunt, you're going to be sitting here for the next 3 hours, count them,
unlike you, I can multitask, okay?
You think you can.
Oh, I know I can.
Experts
I do
say
it all the time.
Multitasking is a mirage, it's an illusion. No one ever successfully multitasks.
The so-called experts are people who can't do it.
Right. Oh, he's such a brilliant broadcast professional. He can watch his binky on television and be so insightful.
Do this
on the radio.
You're right.
Amazing. How do you do it?
Kind of a tough week emotionally with the passing of Sergeant Michael Chesna and the incredible service in Weymouth and all the officers and everybody who was there and to see his wife and his kids. I tell you, I got very emotional just watching it. And then the woman who was just sitting on a porch minding her own business, and then she got shot. And then, of course, yesterday, the duck boats, 17 deaths. Why would anybody take a boat out in that kind of weather is beyond me. Even the owner of the boats just said that boat had no business being out there in the water.
Have you ever been on a duck boat before?
No, I have not.
I have.
And
it's fun. The Charles River, not exactly the most treacherous of seas. And it was very placid the day we went several years ago. And very bad decision out there in Branson, Missouri, to say the least.
You see the water.
Right.
Just...
And when they said duck boat, you know, you think the duck boats, how benign,
cute.
They're cute. There are a lot of kids on
Mickey
it. Tourists
and
get
Donald
on.
And Goofy and all those guys.
Well, I don't know if that's, you know, I don't know if this
no,
is a Disney theme.
No, but I'm saying that's what you think of.
Yeah. And meanwhile, Red Sox last night, that was a very abrupt segue, continue to play fantastic baseball. I said at the beginning of the year when they were 17-2, they would not play as well the rest of the season as they did in the first 19 games. Well, once again, I was wrong.
Well, it's amazing when you can play two types of baseball where you can put one up and you put a 10 spot up, and then the next night you turn around and they win 1-0. David Price was superb. There's no other way you can put it. And as long as he pitches, you know, anything close to that, I think people will, you know, leave him alone.
Yeah. And, you know, once again, and we're only on once a week, though we try to get on more than once a week.
I thought they were going to move our shift.
I want to be moved to the afternoon. No, I don't want to be. Please don't move us. I know they're moving the midday and the afternoon. Glenn's returning to the afternoon.
Congratulations to them.
Yeah.
My buddy Big O made a complete cycle.
Yep. He was in the afternoon, left, exited.
I was on vacation, and I was in the airport coming back, and I just called him to touch base, see what was going on. And
you were on vacation. Where were you?
I forget where I was at the time.
Oh, you're talking about
Miami.
He left the afternoon
show? Oh,
yeah.
He said, I got fired. I said, you got to be kidding me.
So join the club, Big O.
I've been with him for a long time, and I'm very proud of him, and he stuck it through, and he did the to show up in his house for a while. And he's been through a lot, and it was not fair. What he went through was not fair at all. And we found out that some of the jokesters they had in there calling the shots just didn't know what the hell they were doing. And
so when does this all begin?
Phil Zachary came back and got the ship righted, and now they seem to be moving in a very good direction. Dale should be happy. He'll be able to get out. You know, don't have to fret as much leaving for the hockey game.
Oh, I'm sure he's elated over the whole thing.
He's not. You're not. Let's drive time. Let's face it. Morning drive and afternoon drive. Those are the two big shots at the station. But if I were him, I'd be very happy. He's got a good gig. And
Why don't you give him a call and tell him how happy he should be, Larry? I'm sure he appreciates that.
Listen, anybody, all you got to do is walk around the block and you can find plenty of reasons to be happy compared to some people out there.
Let's put it this way. If someone gave us a regular weekday show, middays, 10 to 2, I would be pretty
pleased. Would you
be
icky-balooky?
I would probably go icky-balooky in a very good way. I would be quite pleased about that proposition, but that's not going to happen. We're happy to hold on to our little show here.
Every week, I praise God when my alarm key works. Yep. I can get in the building.
I was out with some friends last night. Hadn't seen the couple for many, many years. And the guy thought we were. The last time I heard you guys, you were like down to 1 hour or something like that.
Is this guy from Seattle?
No, he's not from Seattle. Okay. And I said, no, we have a little bit more than an hour, but not too much more than that. Today, we have three. So we're going to take advantage of our unaccustomed time on the radio here till noon. And then once again, Trenny, a much deserved. I mean, boy, she just works so hard.
More vacations than Ordway.
I mean, seriously, she has more vacation days than she actually has appearances on this radio station.
Unbelievable.
She and Tomasi are both off, and Greg Dickerson will be in with the ubiquitous Mark James coming up at 12 noon today.
So he's another guy, I think, who has immense talent, Greg Dickerson.
I thought you meant Mark James.
I don't know Mark that well.
I think he has immense talent. Well,
I'm happy for you.
There's a lot of immensity going on.
You can tell him when he comes in.
All right.
I'm not saying he doesn't. I just don't know him that well. Right. But Greg, I've known for a long time. Always loved the guy and think he's got tremendous talent. And I think he got shafted with his gig with the Celtics. That I like Abby, but I just think Greg was the man. And if you watch that show about when they won the championship, and he's in the locker room right next to him, and they're pouring champagne on, he was well respected and loved, and there was just no reason for him to get bounced out of that.
So the theme so far today is redemption. Glenn Ordway redeemed back in the afternoon show beginning on August 13th. Greg Dickerson knocked around a couple of stations, got a bad deal over at NBC Boston. He's back on the air. So it's all about redemption.
He's lost some weight, too. Almost everybody at the station's on that diet plan, so apparently he's lost quite a bit of weight.
And
too.
You're a little bit more svelte than
you
used to be.
Nobody called me about getting on any plan, so I had to just take it into my own self-control and do a better job at it.
A personal responsibility, an important character trait.
What we're going to do with the show is there's a variety of things to talk about, and we're going to jump around, and if something hits your fancy, give us a call, 617-779-7937.
Try it one more time. I'm just in awe.
We got Matt the Matt the Marine is back. He's awake this week. I don't know. He was at some marijuana junket last week, so he's back, and he didn't get arrested, so we're proud of him.
No, what actually happened was he was offered a better gig. He was going to go engineer the Red Sox game, which was last week during the afternoon.
He was out there doing the play-by-play, you know.
Right, and then he didn't even get the gig.
Yeah.
So he just abandoned the show altogether.
Decided to work 4 to midnight instead.
Yeah.
He preferred, you can work 4 to midnight at any time. The guy last week was fantastic. What was his name, Kyle?
Yeah, he was
Kyle DeLuz.
He was very
excellent.
Good.
Kyle was excellent.
Running all over the
very
place.
Very smooth.
So keeping up track of news things going on.
Made us look very good.
Very, very, very good.
Yeah, and believe me, that takes a almost miraculous job to do that.
Congrats to Dale. He's doing the Red Sox games this whole weekend out in Detroit.
Well, you're really concerned about Dale, aren't you?
No, I'm not. Why don't you ever, you and Minahan, you hate to give anybody a compliment around here. Well, God forbid.
Well, it's not our show. We don't talk about
that coming up next.
I talk about whatever I feel like talking about.
All right, what else would you like to talk about,
sir? It seemed
to
work well for Kirk, I'll tell you that.
All right, what else would you like to talk about, then?
I want to talk about Donald Trump. You got enough problems.
Do we have to?
Yeah, you got enough problems down there as it is, and you, and Russia, and spies, and this one and that one. Who gives a darn? I'm so fed up with this national anthem story. I'm fed up with it. If you want to stand, stand. If you want to kneel, kneel. If you don't want to do anything or stay in the dressing room and come out after it, fine. I'm sick of talking about it. Yeah. I'm sick of hearing about it.
By the way, in case you are not following Donald J. Trump, esteemed leader of the United States and the leader of the free world, this is the tweet, Larry, that he sent out yesterday. Actually, it was about 6:17 p.m. Exactly 6:17 p.m. yesterday afternoon, the NFL national anthem debate is live and well again. Can't believe it. Isn't it in contract that players must stand at attention, hand on heart? The $40 million commissioner must now make a stand. First time kneeling, out for game. Second time kneeling, out for
a year.
No pay.
Well, you shouldn't be playing. You shouldn't be there. Maybe you shouldn't be in the country.
What did he call recently, within the last few months or last year, didn't appealing to his very hardcore base, didn't he refer to national anthem kneelers in the NFL as SOBs? But he didn't use the phrase SOB.
Right,
he used
right.
a little harsher term there.
Yeah. That Twitter with him is that's one of the first things somebody needs to do is go in there and snatch that thing away from him.
Get that son of a bitch off the field.
So
it's not like you're watching Goodfellas,
right,
you know?
Right. And by the way, there Joe Pesci is responsible for himself 236 F-bombs in Goodfellas. Himself. Not the whole movie.
Yeah.
Just from Joe Pesci's
lips.
It
was a movie, and you understood it, and you knew the character, and that's what it was.
It was appropriate for the character.
It was. Right. And as much as I hate profanity, I didn't mind it with the movie because I understood the context.
So
I'm just saying, as far as I'm concerned, if they want to come out, if you want to stand, stand. If you want to kneel, kneel. If you don't want to do anything at all, just don't do it. Who cares?
Right, but
I'm not watching the National Football League games to see who's standing and who's kneeling. I want to watch a football game.
But
that's
I think
what I want.
You have evolved on this issue because
I'm sick of hearing about
it. When it first reared its head a couple of years ago with Kaepernick, I think you were a little bit more on the fence about it. I don't think
well,
you
well, I
were
didn't
entirely,
like it at first, yeah. But the problem is that no progress has, when you think about it, no progress has been made whatsoever on either side. First of all, what are you protesting about? Okay, they need to get a group of people together to sit down at a table and figure out, okay, what are the issues that you're protesting? And then let's figure out, is there anything that we can do to help push it along? It's an impossible situation to totally correct because you're always going to have social injustice. You're always going to have the haves and the have-nots. I tell you the truth, my proposal would be I would take ownership and I would take each player on every team and they would donate like 3-5% of their annual paycheck every year and wherever they're from, let the money go back to the community, to different areas where they're trying to encourage higher education, training, work and compensation, sports, athletic buildings, whatever. Dana Barrows, by the way, has a beautiful basketball building in Easton right on 138. It's fantastic. I haven't been by there yet. But seriously, let's stop whining and protesting. And Donald Trump, you got enough money. You're building all these resorts all over
the
place.
Well, he's in debt to just about everybody, including Russian oligarchs. I'm not sure if he really has a lot of cash flow, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm not weeping for him, trust me.
But
I'm just saying, though. I'm sick. The reason I'm sick of hearing about it is because all people want to do is protest to protest. Why don't you sit down and come up with a plan and have every player, if you're that concerned about it, and I would be pleased if you are, I will give Kaepernick credit for that. He did donate
lots of money and time.
Time. Yep. So, I mean, at least he put his money where his mouth is. But let every player donate a small percentage of the pay, and the owners as well. They have that little shindig out in the middle of nowhere where billions of dollars are probably spent every year so they can rub each other's backs. Put some money on the table, identify for either a school or whatever you want, and donate the money, and you can then you can do right. something about it.
So during the offseason, as you know, the NFL instituted the new rule is if you want to protest during the national anthem, stay in the locker room while the anthem is being played. Meanwhile, the Dolphins had decided they were going to have their own policy. Anybody protesting on the field, 4-game suspension. NFL Players Union didn't like that. NFL, the powers that be didn't like that. They got together and said, for now, there is no rule about the national anthem.
First of all, why can't somebody come out and just answer the simple question, what is it that you're protesting?
Well, I know what it is. It started as police brutality. And yep. There's certainly plenty of examples
yes.
of police brutality, particularly black victims in this country. That, to me, was a worthwhile protest. I've always been in support of it. Larry, as a black man in America, you certainly understand we don't live in an equal society.
No, but okay? I'm against violence of any sort like that right. against authority or against our police officers wielding authority inappropriately. Right. I thought what happened to Sergeant Chestnut was an absolute disgrace. So, I mean, you can look at both sides. My issue is, why don't you sit down? You got intelligent minds in this country, allegedly. Why can't you sit down at a table and list out some things and come up? And let's face it, money, you got to hire staff, get appropriate buildings and settings and stuff to start changing some of these things. Just to sit there and protest, that's not doing anything. And if an NFL player or whatever expects somebody else to carry the freight and they're not going to put anything into it, that doesn't work either. It should be something everybody should want to do, a little something.
Right. But I don't begrudge any player who believes, be it black or white, and there were white players who were locking arms, kneeling with their black teammates, including the former Patriot linebacker. I'm trying to remember his name. Chris Long. Chris Long. Yeah, there you go. And so there are people who have, I think very justifiably, concerns about social issues in this country.
Fine, but what are they doing about it? What are you doing?
But Larry, you don't just sit back and do nothing.
Right, you just let this thing
march. It's a consciousness-raising activity.
No, somebody with a brain in their head. You got Goodell making $40 million a year. You got the NFL.
Now you're sounding like Trump.
Wait a minute, though. You got the NFL Players Association head. And there's enough intelligent people out there to say, okay, let's get a group of people together name some issues and name some things about how we can help to contribute.
I totally agree with you.
To fix things.
Meanwhile, I never was irritated. Now, there are many people listening right now who probably think otherwise. And around the league, certainly the NFL was concerned with fans of a more conservative bent that were turned off by players kneeling before the game. But most people take in the NFL on television. How many games do you watch where you check out, you actually care about whether a player is kneeling or standing during the national anthem?
I don't. And if somebody never said anything right. about it, then I wouldn't even have given a second
Absolutely.
Thought to it.
And you know,
but how do they do it in the other sports?
Well,
baseball, when do they do the – is that the seventh inning?
No, they do it before the game. And when I was a kid
– don't see it though, right?
Well, it depends on when you tune it in. If you tune in right at the beginning of a game,
yep.
you'll see the players, like for instance, the Red Sox are playing at Fenway, you'll see them take the field, and then they take off their hats, and they're all standing staring at the flag in center field.
I missed that. Okay. I'll have to make an effort.
Okay, you certainly know in the National Hockey League, they always play the anthem. If there's a Canadian team, get the Canadian anthem
right.
as well. Trying to think in basketball, of course you do. You see that before the game.
So is one to assume that football is the only sport where the players care about issues going on?
No, and it has spread in a minor way to some of the other sports. But why dismiss an NFL player because he's the only athlete of the four professional sports who is lodging a protest.
I'm not dismissing it. I'm just curious why none of the how the other sports have managed to avoid this.
Well, it began again with Kaepernick, who was more socially engaged,
right,
and that was contagious throughout the league, which I thought was appropriate. And interestingly enough, it really wasn't much of an issue last year. It really, that was a 2 year ago issue.
I think it
would
go away if Trump would keep his mouth shut.
Right.
To be honest with you.
Right. And the league policy was the ultimate fence sitting resolution. Okay, if you really want to protest, we won't suspend you. Just don't come out for the national anthem. Remember, up until a few years ago, the national anthem was played well before game time.
Yeah.
But remember, why did it become such a patriotic event in national football games?
Well, 9/11.
Because the military was paying them hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars.
Please don't tell me that.
For these patriotic displays on the field.
Please
that
don't
was all. Those were all paid, Larry, by the armed services. So the NFL got into the patriotic game, not for pure patriotism, because, once again, It lined their coffers.
So when they used to march these different military officials out with a decorated...
All that was being paid
all
for.
All of that was being paid for.
It's a paid commercial.
By the military.
Right.
And I got a phone call. We got a phone call from a very high up individual connected with the National Football League who really kind of not begged us, but asked if we kind of stay away from that subject. I think the stuff that goes on behind the scenes, there are a lot of things out there that you would be just disgraced about.
Root for your teams from afar. Because
I don't care anymore about. I think this last year, even with Brady and Belichick and Kraft and all of them, like I love the Patriots. But I am no longer, I used to have a death grip on them, man. Patriots, above anything else, that was it for
me. Because you're starting to see how the sausage is made, and it's
and
no
I don't
fun.
Like it.
You don't like all those intestines
like
and all that fat.
Okay, do you have to go on? Matt, cancel that order, will you please? No, but that that military thing, can you imagine that the military marches out on the field and they do the stars, stripes, and the planes and everything else, and then you find out afterwards they paid for that?
Of course. And
you don't find that disgusting?
I find it completely disgusting, and I find it much more outrageous than a few conscience-stricken NFL players who are down on a knee, Larry. This isn't the Olympics in 1968 with
John Carlos and John Smith. Yeah.
They're not raising their fists above their head. Yeah. They're kneeling. As a matter of fact, in some places on Sunday, kneeling is a very good thing.
Amen. I do it in here every time I come in here
with
you.
Every time you see me, you get down on your knees.
Trying and I perform an exorcism. No, but seriously, why can't somebody stop? They got a whole, you can't do it now. The season's getting ready to start. Right after the Super Bowl, Goodell should have orchestrated and put together a committee, players and a couple of owners, whatever, and they should have tried to resolve and come up with something to do. Because I agree. I think certain things should be done to address some of the travesties in this country and stuff in terms of what some people are going through. I think they should. But what are you going to do? Like a week before training camp, now this becomes an issue again?
Yeah, and now
it's
they're
ridiculous.
Back on their heels. And now they're back
on ridiculous.
Their heels.
I hate it.
And then Stephen Ross, the owner of the Dolphins, he backtracked yesterday saying this was just a, quote, placeholder policy. We really hadn't settled on anything permanent. That was just an idea we were floating around.
The only thing that's proves to me is you don't have to be the brightest bulb in the room to have a lot of money. There are a lot of people who were born into it. There are a lot of people that got certain breaks along the way or this or that. Because the more you are around some of this stuff, you realize that there are a lot of people out there who aren't that bright, who have a lot of money.
So you're saying that money does not equal intelligence?
I don't think so.
No.
Do you?
I never did think that way.
Man.
If that's the case, I'm one of the smartest guys in the room. 617-779.
So
what's the number again, Larry?
617-779.
I tried to remember it.
Seven. 93.7.
Okay, so the national anthem debate is alive and well again, quote unquote.
I'm sick of it.
According to the tweeter in chief.
I'm sick of it.
Okay.
Okay, I really am. I'm fed up. The reason I'm sick of it is because, you know, okay, you protested. I got that. And I agree with you. Something needs to be done. But now should be the time when, okay, now let's throw some solutions on the table. Just to keep protesting. That's why when you see these events and down the commons and other places where you have these people marching all over the place and protesting, I don't mind the protest. But then at some point, let's talk about solutions. Just to protest the protest, what is that going
to
do?
But
it goes
to
away.
Not do anything
remember,
at all.
Remember a couple of years ago in Baltimore when they were ripping that city apart? And it was
pretty great.
It was a mess down there. Well, guess what? Now they've tempered that. So now they, who cares? Nobody cares. You just move on with life.
Yeah, but you know what,
until the next protest.
If you gave the player the option, let the player do what he wants, and this issue will disappear.
I don't want it to disappear. I want solutions.
Right, but the outrage will disappear. Just as when anybody protests, when anybody resists the status quo, initially there's going to be pushback and there's going to be outrage, but eventually people evolve like you. I think initially when Colin Kaepernick was kneeling 2 years ago, you were not one of his supporters. And I think you have come to understand that his cause was worthwhile.
But I'm not on either side. But I'm on a solution side. That's what I want.
Yeah,
I'm sick of talk.
Well,
the biggest problem with this country is you got a lot of people who want to run their mouths.
Name one person in this country who wants to run his mouth.
You leave Ordway alone.
This commissioner, where this guy comes from.
617-779-7937.
How about solutions? Let's fix something. You got the Patriots coming up now, and now there's a story out there. Greg Bedard recently had a story that there's still some friction between Belichick, Brady, in Kraft.
Yeah, I saw that piece. That was what is the name of that pay-per-view? Well, not pay-per-view, but paid subscription service. Boston Sports Journal, I think the name of it is.
I think it is. I don't even know how they're doing.
And he's an excellent football writer. He used to work with Peter King and then Sports Illustrated before
that. Do you
that.
Think there's friction between Belichick, Brady,
and
Kraft?
How would I know?
How do we know anything unless you're hiding under Kraft's bed?
I believe, at least from what I've read and what I've heard, you know, the outside looking in way on the periphery, that there is still friction. And the question would be, I don't doubt that there's a little triangulation going on between the three. And right now, the odd man out, because there's always an odd man out in triangulation.
You're right.
And Belichick.
Put two kids in the yard with a ball, and you won't hear from them the whole day. Throw a third kid out there.
Someone's going to be pushed out.
Hell breaks loose.
I had a roommate situation like that in Long Island. Two people, perfect. Add the third person. Someone becomes a pariah.
It's just the way it is.
Right. And right now, the pariah in Foxborough is...
Kraft.
No, not at all.
Why not?
It's Belichick. Belichick's on the outside.
But
right
Kraft's
now.
The one who makes who's supposed to be able to be the arbiter and make the decisions.
But Kraft has, in the battle, in this triangulation between Brady, Belichick, and Kraft.
And don't forget, who's the other guy there, the trainer?
Alex Guerrero?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't, I don't know why we're leaving him out.
All right. He's part of it might be more of a quadra instead of a triangulate, whatever it is.
Well, it sounds like Garoppolo's date.
Caramaya, why must we see? Remember that song from Jay the American?
Oh, I loved it.
Great
Come
song.
A little bit closer.
Great song.
Your way.
Anyway, so what's my point is that right now Belichick is the loser in this triangulation. No question about that.
I think
that.
The loser right now are the Patriot fans. They got Brady, Hoyer, Etling, third string quarterback. You tell me if something happens to Brady and he goes down, you can forget that.
Pull out
your book and start studying the draft.
You know the person who is most elated about the quarterback depth chart right now on the Patriots? Tom Brady. Tom Brady loves the fact that Jimmy Garoppolo is hanging out with Kira Mia, wherever her name is.
I love Tom Brady, but he's foolish then. He's foolish.
But all he cares about is Tom Brady. I don't care what you tell me.
Is this the Tom Brady you've known over the years? I'll tell you this much. You must agree. Last year has been a revelation as far as Tom Brady's concerned. I think Brady's had a breakout off season, and I think he says the hell with it. And he's not just going to be a team player. He didn't go to the voluntary practices.
Speaking of Guerrero, Guerrero must not be around to feed him strawberries and things because
he's busy feeding his
own. Can he eat strawberries or not eat strawberries?
He just doesn't like them.
Oh, he doesn't like strawberries. He can't eat tomatoes, right?
Tomatoes aren't on part of the diet.
But what kind of ice cream does he like?
Avocado.
Avocado ice cream. But apparently he's maybe indulging in a little bit too much of that avocado ice cream. He's a little paunch. You see him on the beach scene with he and Giselle smooching?
Hey, Garoppolo's got his own avocado ice cream.
Oh, boy. 617.
You wish that were you?
Larry, you're not going to
get
me in trouble.
Stop it, will you,
you
please?
You are not going to get me into trouble. I've left teaching, but I'm still married. You know what I mean?
Are you?
617.
What were you doing with an intern out in the hallway?
7937. Mustard and Johnson, quickly now to a break on Sports Radio WEEI.
Mustard and Johnson are rocking the Saturday Sports Talk on Sports Radio WEEI.
Respect the flag, or if you don't like the country, or whatever it is, just go into the locker room. Just go into the I think in many respects, that's worse. Isn't that worse than not standing? You know? I think that's worse. So they say, go into the locker room. It's okay, the anthem's getting ready to play. They run into the locker room. Then they come back out. You know what? That doesn't play.
Oh, man. You know who. Discussing in that infamous Montana rally last week where he was calling out a certain senator from Massachusetts as being Pocahontas and took some shots at just about everybody, including the NFL. Wait a minute. So let me get this straight. So going to the locker room, Larry, is now worse than kneeling. Yet in the tweet yesterday, first time kneel, one game suspension, second time out for the year with no pay.
Listen, the whole thing is stupid. I told you that. The whole thing is foolish.
The whole presidency, you mean?
No, the whole issue. I think people have a right to protest, and they've done that already for 2 years. Now let's sit down at a round table and get some solutions. All but right. Nobody wants to do that. Because when you talk about doing solutions, it means people have to give up something.
Well, this man always seems to have a solution for everything. He's Andy from Framingham.
My solution is give the Caesar what is Caesar and God what is God.
Andy, how are you?
Guys, I'm fine. Hey, I'm surprised you guys didn't mention anything about Amendola.
You mean now that he's out of the principal's office?
Exactly.
And hanging out with his buddy down there and Adam Gase?
Adam Gase down in Miami.
Yeah, right.
I tend to think that Belichick he's not unique in that all great coaches have the talent of owning the locker room and holding control of the locker room, and he's in that category. Whether you're talking about Jimmy Johnson or Vince Lombardi, I mean, you don't have to break a clipboard like Ditka to get somebody's attention. As you get older, because of the hard salary cap, it doesn't normally end well.
Well, and he has to own two things this year. And if he wins, people will forget about it. But leaving Butler out of the Super Bowl
and the
Garoppolo trade, those are two things that he's going to have to own until he can prove otherwise.
Yeah, and
they're going to be 11-5, and they're going to be a Super Bowl contender.
Oh, yeah, of course they are. And as far as I'm concerned, there's still the odds on favor to go back to the Super Bowl. But if you're Amendola, if you won a couple of Super Bowls with Brady, now you're getting your money. You don't have to worry as you get older. You're a veteran player now.
Right.
You know, this is probably your last stop. Do you really want to have to deal with a Martinet like Belichick? That's the difference.
Well, Harrison,
again, he gets old as you get older. But here's the thing. One other thing. He is, in my opinion, he's a genius. I mean, he has not had any major draft choices in almost a decade. He's gotten Seymour and the other kid from Texas A&M, Wolfork and those guys.
Wolfork was from Miami.
Pardon me?
Wolfork was from Miami.
I thought he went to Texas A&M.
No, that was...
I know what you're talking about.
You know what I mean.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. They all look alike.
Andy, as much as I agree with
Warren.
Yeah, thank you.
Ty Warren, thank you.
As much as I agree with a lot of what you say about Belichick, I still want to see him coach without Brady. I still want to see what kind of genius he would be.
Had Matt Castle, as you recall.
Very poor. He didn't make the playoffs, and they had a really soft schedule that year.
And they were 11-5, though, that's the point. And I think, you don't replace Brady overnight. They had their replacement, and they decided to move him, which was – I don't know. It was certainly not kosher, as we say in the food business. But I want to move on to the Red Sox, if I can, quickly. I want to say if Price could have pitched the perfect game, and I still would be concerned about him going against the Yankees in the playoffs.
Well, there's the big issue, and I don't know if this was discussed last night because I was out most of the night. There was a concern that perhaps the Red Sox would shuffle the rotation so he would not face them in a couple of weeks.
Wouldn't that be obvious?
But that'd be pretty hard to do. It's a four-game series. How do you avoid the Yankees in that four-game series?
He's got to pitch in that series.
Yeah.
He's got to show something.
Right.
I mean, he really does. And Cleveland, by the way, sent notice to the rest of the league that they're planning for the offseason.
They got that kit, that hand.
And I got another kid.
Kimber. Here's
the problem with
C-I-M-B-E-R. He's hand is a lefty. Kimber's a righty.
Right.
They have strengthened their bullpen up considerably.
It's extremely important going into the playoffs.
Right, and here's the problem with the Red Sox. As great as they're playing in the regular season, we talked about it last week, they're exploiting a lot of bad teams. Detroit is one of them. They only, won nothing game last night. But they continue to beat up on the teams they should be beating. Are they ready for prime time, which is
so does this mean you're going to go? Wait a minute, guys. Does this mean you're going to go through the season being miserable because you're worried about the playoffs?
I'm not miserable about it, but I think there's
that. Here's the thing, though. If Price can't do it, if he shows he can't do it, they need to take the politics out of it. And my hope is that Eddie Rodriguez can fill that void.
Andy, the guy just got carted off the field.
I know. He's always getting hurt. It drives you insane. But he has big time stuff. You got to admit that.
But he got carted off the field. How do you know? I don't know if he'll be back.
Oh, Rodriguez, he'll be back. What do you mean he won't be back?
What are you, a doctor? Are you a doctor?
No. I play one on TV, though.
Now, here's the problem. Thank you, Andy. That was the line.
Could you play one when you're dating?
Here's the problem. As you well know, until right now, everything's quiet on the David Price front. It seems like he's taking the right approach.
Okay, discretion, and who else you got?
Is the better part of valor, but you don't know what's going to happen.
It's a box of Cracker Jacks, guys. We'll have to
You don't know what that prize is going to be at the bottom.
That's it. Have a great afternoon. Right.
See you later. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We go to Rob in Dorchester, who's next on Sports Radio. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Rob.
Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for calling in.
I want to touch on the question about why can't people just come to the table and come up with solutions to
yes.
the whole protesting. Well, newsflash here, and I'm not trying to be sarcastic, but divisive-minded people do not want to come up with solutions. In other words, people who are not committed to the process of coming up with solutions to social injustices are not the people who are going to want to come and sit at the table and talk about solutions with people who are in favor of coming up with solutions to social injustices. That's just the unfortunate fact of the matter.
Okay, but we do agree that the players have identified the fact that there are some issues out there that they are very concerned about. And because the players work for the owners, whether the owners like it or not, at some point somebody's going to have to sit down and try and come up with some solutions.
More precisely, someone with opposing opinions, opposing perspectives. That's where your solutions come from. Two people who are at opposite ends of the spectrum, their own opposite ideologies, having the willingness to come and sit at the table and talk about where is that middle ground? Where is that commonality that we share that's the foundation of us coming up with solutions to these kinds of problems?
Well, I tell you where the middle ground solution is. Ka-ching, ka-ching. Somebody's got, instead of both sides shooting off their mouths and being protesting, don't you think now is about the time when you should get some reasonable people to a table and start talking about some solutions and people donating some money and building some programs and some training and the like?
Absolutely. I agree completely. And it takes a change of heart. It takes a change of being challenged with their core belief system in order to move in that direction. Unfortunately, we're not there.
Well, you know what, though? I would agree with you except for the simple fact that whether we like it or not, the change of heart, I don't care whether you like me or not, I don't care whether you think, whether because I'm black, you really, you're behind the scenes, you don't want to have anything to do with me. The reality is I'm here and I'm working for you and we are concerned enough about some issues that you need to come to the table. Now, if you want to have a team and have some things get resolved, you need to come to the table. Who was that owner who sold the team recently? Richardson or somebody? Who was it?
Jerry Richardson, yeah.
Yeah, these people. I mean, listen, whether you like it or not, when you look down on the field, baby, I'm black and I work for you. But I need you to come to the table because we have some issues.
Yeah, good call, Rob. Thanks for the call. 617.
Good, Rob.
779-7937. Quick break. More of your calls talking about, well, that national anthem controversy alive and well again, thanks to the Twitterer-in-chief. Is that a word? I'm not sure.
What, Twitterer?
The Twitterer. He's a Twitterer.
I thought I taught a Twitterer.
I did. We'll be back with more.
You get ready, yeah.
Right after this.
Let's get you back to more of Mustard and Johnson on Sports Radio WEEI.
Well, I think the general public has a very strong view of what respect for the flag is in that moment. We have language in our policy that talks about that, standing at attention with hats off and focused. And I think the general arbiter will be the clubs and the league, and we'll work with our players and get their viewpoint also.
Well, the problem with that, Roger Goodell, was a couple of weeks after you made that statement, the Miami Dolphins decided to implement, at least informally, their own plan, which is if you don't stand and you're on the field during the national anthem, you'll be suspended by the team for 4 games. Well, that caused a brouhaha. NFL Players Association, the powers that be, including Goodell and the NFL, said, no, you can't do that. So now they suspended the new law altogether, and they're going to put that one on hold for the next several weeks as they try to come up with something that will keep all parties satisfied.
Well, here's the problem. So then you say, you know, everybody's got to come out and stand. If you're going to play in the National Football League, everybody's got to stand. So then you say, okay, well, then what?
Well, the union's not going to go along with that.
No, but I'm saying, let's just say they did. Right. Then what? Business as usual? In other words, there's got to, if you want everybody to come out and stand in respect of the flag and a national anthem, and I believe in that, but you've got to have something. They have identified a problem that they're concerned about, the players, and I agree with them. So then you got to give them something.
All right. Okay. You agree with you have to, this is mandatory that you stand for the national anthem. Okay.
As an owner, I am saying that I want my players to
do that. All right. As a fan.
Yep.
All right, suddenly you go to a Patriot game. I know you don't go to many.
Yep.
And this whole thing is...
Have your connections. And,
And it's expensive. We all know that. But suddenly this thing is back in the news again, and there is reason. There's another instance of police brutality, and some of the Patriot players, maybe all the Patriot players, decide they're all going to kneel. You're at Gillette Stadium. How do you feel about that as a fan?
You know what it is? They have Kaepernick. You got to give him credit, and I know that's not a popular thing to do, but he has identified a symbol that you cannot escape it. You can't. The flag represents, you know, the country, the honor, the everything that this country stands for. So when he used that as a symbol to identify with, there's no neutral opinion on it.
Okay, but for him, and everybody has their own interpretation, the problem is those who disagree with Kaepernick and his followers, shall we say, everybody has a different interpretation. And the problem was the pushback and the outrage came from those who misinterpreted the protest as being against our military. And that's not what it was.
Right.
It was liberty and justice for all. That is a very hollow phrase. And again, why am I speaking for you if you're a black person in this country?
I don't care what color you are. I think there are.
I'm white. Liberty and justice has been served up to me on a silver platter for my entire life. I have white privilege. I understand that. And there are a lot of people who are associated, who are very, quote, patriotic and white, don't understand that this country does really not include everybody. This is not an all-inclusive country where everybody enjoys liberty and justice. And that's what those NFL players, predominantly black, were protesting. It wasn't, we hate the military, we're against the veterans.
They picked out a symbol.
Right.
It's like the guy who couldn't get this mule across the street, so he went in his trunk and got out a 2x4 and whacked him across the forehead as hard as he could. And somebody said, "What'd you do that for?" He says, "Oh, well, first you got to get his attention."
Right.
So
that's what I.
This was a way of getting our attention. My complaint is, okay, now you have our attention. What are we going to do about it?
Right.
Or are we just going to protest the protest? Or are we going to acknowledge there are some concerns out there and let's come to the table and let's start identifying with some of these things to take a small step within our power to help fix it?
And that's what, you know, and maybe I should know more about this. That's what I don't know enough about. Are both parties sitting down? Are players who are concerned sitting down?
I think you'd hear about it if they did.
Right. All right, let's get back to the phones at 617-779-7937. It's Mark in the car. He's next on Mustard and Johnson.
Good morning, Mark.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Hey, good.
What's up?
Good. Well, first on Price, and then if I have a minute on the police thing with Kaepernick.
Sure.
I just find Price interesting. Two things about him. One is, you know, clearly it's in his head. I mean, his performance, you know, you look at his stuff last, he's got the stuff. You know what I mean? If you look at how he pitched last night and when he's winning several games in a row, and it's strictly when the pressure's on, for whatever reason, he's put pressure on himself when we play the Yankees or in the playoffs. And it's, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it's mostly a psychological thing with him. And I find that, you know, fascinating to have that many different pitches, you know, the way he was dealing last night, the changeup, the curveball, the fastball, but he just can't put it together when it's on the line and he puts that pressure on himself.
Right.
Let me ask you this, though. He's been with about 5 or 6 different teams. Has he always had this problem?
No. I mean, he's been a very steady pitcher wherever he's gone. This is his 4th team. It's, what, Tampa, Detroit, Toronto, and now the Red Sox.
Okay.
And, I mean, he's been, you know, a rock in the rotation everywhere he's gone. But let's face it, and we all know this, pitching in Boston's not the same as pitching in Toronto or Detroit, even when Detroit was a team that was, you know, vying for an AL pennant. It's not the same thing, certainly not nearly as it is in Tampa.
Mike, did you hear John Lester's quote? He said it's 100% more difficult to pitch in Boston.
Yeah, and think of all the pressure that Lester had delivering a pennant and a World Series to Chicago. It's a whole different attitude out in the Midwest. There's so much intensity in this town. And David Price, as we have seen, doesn't always have the right personality for these pressure-filled situations. And, Mark, this is the big question. After every great performance that David Price turns in the regular season, you go, yeah, but...
Well, that's exactly right. And it's funny that you just mentioned Lester, because there's another guy, and I have a degree in psychology. It doesn't make me a psychiatrist, but Lester, as you guys know, can't throw over to first base. So to me, it's strange when you see guys that are so good but have performance issues that are strictly based on something that's in their head. And I got to know Derek Lowe a little bit when he was in town with the Red Sox. I don't know if you remember him at all.
But yeah.
He was a guy with an amazing when he had movement on his fastball, you know, almost unhittable. But then he got to a stretch later in his stint with the Sox where he could not get any movement on the ball. He would straight, and he would also walk a lot of people. And I remember him saying one time, you know, I just don't know what's wrong with me. And it was clearly, you know, he was kind of depressed about it, and it just affected him tremendously.
All I know is the tireder he got, the better he was. 2 days rest, went out and beat the Yankees in Game 7 of the 2004 ALCS. I remember Derek Lowe all too well, Mark.
You want to make a comment? You want to make a comment about the anthem?
If I do have time, I'd like to. Yeah.
Sure.
So, Larry, I just appreciate every time this comes up, you put your support behind the police, even though, and you know, I'm a white guy, and Craig's a white guy, and you're a black guy, obviously. But you have respect for the every time they go to work, and a lot of them get killed, and that doesn't seem to be as big a message as the whole Kaepernick thing, and it kind of bothers me. And Craig, you know, your default position tends to be not very pro-police. And I just wish you would give a little more thought to what these guys go through and how dangerous their job is.
No, I understand that. But you would have to admit statistically there are more black percentage-wise, not numbers, but per capita, there are more black people who are killed by police
or thrown
than
in
white
jail.
People.
Or thrown in jail.
Right.
It's funny. It's a very difficult, Mark, it's a very difficult subject to discuss in light of the Chesna funeral that just took place this past week. Very, very emotional.
Right, and I understand how difficult it is, and I certainly wouldn't want to be in that position. I wouldn't want my boys to be in that position, and I'm sensitive to that, but we need to come up with a solution that works for everybody in this country, and that's the problem right now. Thank you for the call, Mark.
Mark, great call. Thank
right.
you.
We're going to take a break. It's 10 o'clock, 1 hour down.
617-779-7937.
Larry's just happy because he gets to do 3 hours today.
Oh, I'm ecstatic. Yourself. I'm doing bad. Curtis, thank you so much. Come in here so I can thank you personally.
I can't figure out who's more excited, Dale or you, about what's going on at the radio station these days.
I feel like Marvin Gaye. What's going on?
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.